Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 18th of September, 2017. And as of sundown last night and until sundown tonight, it is the Feast of Trumpets this year. This is my 290th Word for Word show. We're going to be going into the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. Now, I need to explain that because they were originally one book. They were not separated. The Vulgate was the first edition of the Bible to separate them, but they were designated as 1st and 2nd Ezra at that time. Part of Ezra are also written in Aramaic, like Daniel were. Ezra 4:8 through 6:18 and 7:12 through 26 are in Aramaic. And this is a recounting of the efforts of the exiles that returned from Babylon to rebuild the temple under the leadership of Yeshua, the high priest. It's Yeshua, yeah. And Zerubbabel, the governor over the region. Proper worship was established then. Years later, Ezra arrived in Jerusalem with another group of exiles, and he was commissioned by King Artaxerxes to teach the statutes of the Mosaic Law to the people in Israel. The first group returned in 536 BC under the leadership of Zerubbabel, and the second in 457 under Ezra, and the third group in 444 under Nehemiah. And Ezra is the one that wrote down that the doings of Nehemiah was written by Ezra, not Nehemiah. Zechariah and Haggai, the prophets, were contemporary with Zerubbabel, and Esther, which we just went through, came along not many years later. And a lot of understanding can be gained of the life of the Israelites after the exile by studying the books of these individuals along with Ezra and Nehemiah. I'm going to have a continuing study and sort of semi-rejoin Ezra and Nehemiah when I reach the end of Ezra. I will bring in the book of Nehemiah because it was originally one book and should not be separated. So it won't, you may get part of the last of Ezra in one lesson, and the first part of Nehemiah in the same lesson. So I'm not going to separate these. On my website, they will be listed under Ezra/Nehemiah. These need to be put together again for total understanding. Pardon me while I clear my lungs again. I have to cough. You're going to get some new words here because they have really chopped up the translation. Cyrus, king of Persia, the name is not Cyrus. It is Koresh. And just like David Koresh down there at Waco, okay? It's Koresh, not Cyrus, okay? And this has a lot of references to Jeremiah and Isaiah. So if you're reading in a King James, it's going to be very different, because I have corrected the names, and I'm going to be putting in dates so you know about the timeline. Everything is not exact, but I will give you as best I can. There is a lot of interaction and chapter 2 is identical almost with Nehemiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 58 are the same as verses 6 through 60 in Nehemiah, and they give an accounting of the names of the exiles that returned. There is a problem with racial intermarriage, which will be solved in these books. They mention that. And this is a very informative study. Pay attention to a lot of the names. I know it's boring to listen to a lot of names, but they're important. These are our forefathers. And you need to pay close attention to a lot of it. Let me get my lungs straightened out here a little bit. I have this bronchitis when I start to talk. And my lungs are real dry right now, so I have a dry cough. I apologize for that, but I'm doing the very best I can to combat these physical ailments. Matter of fact, I'm going to reach up here and get a couple of fenugreek and thyme. These help with coughs and sinus problems. You can get them at health food stores. That's fenugreek, F-E-N-U-G-R-E-E-K, and thyme, T-H-Y-M-E. That's better. And they will help me. They get down in there and work rather quickly. They're very, very good. So let's get into chapter 1 of Ezra. There is a reference here. Now in the first year of Cyrus, okay? The first year of Cyrus would have been 538 B.C. He reigned in Persia, and he began to reign in 559, but he did not conquer Babylon until 539. Remember, in earlier studies, I told you that Koresh, king of Persia, would conquer Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar and his progeny would be brought down. Okay, he was used as a tool of Yahweh to punish Israel during the Babylonian captivity. When Yahweh was done with the punishment, basically, Nebuchadnezzar, etc., of Babel was thrown under the bus. And Cyrus, king of Persia, conquered them. And you will notice some things about Cyrus. I'll point them out as we read on. So let's get into it. Verse 1 of chapter 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now that is Koresh. The first year of Koresh, king of Paras. That is the Hebrew name for Persia. That the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Yirmiyahu, that is Jeremiah, might be fulfilled. Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Koresh, king of Paras, that he made a proclamation. In other words, pass by voice is the literal translation, but it's proclamation here, throughout all the kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, and you can reference this verse in Jeremiah 25, verse 11, and 29, verse 10. Verse 2 here. Thus says Koresh, king of Paras. Now look, notice this. Yahweh, Elohim of the sky, has given me all the kingdoms of the land. And he has appointed me to build him a house at Yerushalayim, which is in Yehuda, the land of Judah. And you can reference Isaiah 44, 28. Koresh, the king of Persia, was a Yahweh worshiper. Is that not interesting? Right there? He was very good. See, he freed the captives in Babylon. He was very good to the people of Israel. Very, very good. And he wanted to rebuild that temple because he revered Yahweh. Verse 3. Who was there among you of all his people? His people. Recognize Israel is Yahweh's chosen people. His Elohim be with him, and let him go up to Yerushalayim, which is in Yehuda, and build the house of Yahweh, Elohim of Israel. He is the Elohim which is in Yerushalayim. And this is the king of Persia, okay? There were Adamites all over. This guy was an Adamite. He was not a mixed breed. This guy was a good guy of a foreign nation. Verse 4. And whoever remains in any place where he sojourns, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of Elohim that is in Yerushalayim. In other words, help that Israelite move to Jerusalem to build the second temple. Verse 5. Then rose up the chiefs of the clans of Yehuda and Benjamin, Judah and Benjamin, and the priests, and the Levium, and the Levites, and all those whose spirit Elohim had aroused to go up to build the house of Yahweh, or rebuild the house of Yahweh, because Nebuchadnezzar had burned it, which is in Jerusalem. Listen to this. Now remember, Koresh had conquered Babylon. And Babylon had taken all the holy vessels out of the temple. Nebuchadnezzar and his son. And his son drank out of the golden cups that were dedicated to Yahweh, and Yahweh killed him in the night of the banquet. Remember that? Verse 6. And all around them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, and with beasts, and with precious things, beside all that was willingly offered. In other words, all of Israel chipped in to make sure all the exiles got back to Jerusalem. Now here we go, verse 7. Also, Koresh the king brought forth the vessels of the house of Yahweh, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his Elohim, his little e gods. And when they drank out of them, Yahweh killed his son. So Koresh confiscated all those vessels in Babylon because he was a Yahweh worshiper, and he returned them to the priests of Yahweh, the Levitical priests, to put back in the temple once they were cleansed and the temple was rebuilt. So I had told you when we were studying all about Nebuchadnezzar that he would be used as a tool and then destroyed by Yahweh by Koresh, the king of Persia. Well, this book tells about it. I got a cough again here. Verse 8, even those did Koresh, king of Paras, bring forth by the hands of Mithridath, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Shetzbazar, prince of Yehuda. They kept their royal line. He was a descendant of David. And now we start on numbering things. Verse 9, and this is the number of them: 30 chargers of gold, 1,000 basins of silver, 9 and 20 knives, 30 bowls of gold, silver bowls of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. Pardon me. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up with the exiles that were brought up from Babylon into Jerusalem. Koresh conquered Babylon. He was a Yahweh worshiper, and he freed from captivity the people of Israel. Okay, and he says, no, we're gonna take all these vessels and all this, and I will pay for the rebuilding of the house of Yahweh. So that's who Koresh, the king of Persia, was. Now here's chapter 2. And this is the record of those who returned, and verses 1 through 58 here are referenced in Nehemiah 7, verses 6 through 60, as I said in the opening explanation. Oh boy, that's a deep cough I've got. I don't know why I'm getting it, but it's bothering me the last couple of shows. and I will open a new bottle of water. I'm really fired up. I'm going to enjoy this whole series here of Ezra and Nehemiah because of the history. And it shows what happened after that Babylonian captivity. When I get through with Ezra and Nehemiah, I have 1st and 2nd Chronicles to do, and that will end the Old Testament. Then I'll start getting into the Intertestament books and a lot of the, the Apocrypha books and the so-called lost books that they have suppressed. So we're going to have a real good ride into the new year. We're in September now. Got October, November, and December. So we're going to be hard at it, and then in the new year, we're going to get into the other books, and then in 2018, we'll be doing the New Testament with all the Greek. I have to pull down my other dictionaries and get things straight there. So let's get into chapter 2. All right, verse 1 of chapter 2 of Ezra. This is 1st Ezra. Nehemiah was originally called 2nd Ezra. And the series that we're doing on Yahweh's covenant people, that's actually 3rd Ezra. Okay, that's in the Apocrypha. There's 3rd and 4th. So they suppressed a lot of books because they just don't want that knowledge put out there. Now, these are the children of the province, 4082, that went up from the captivity of exiles whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, had carried into exile unto Babel, and returned again unto Jerusalem and Yehuda, every one unto his city. Okay. Everybody went home. Verse 2. Which came with Zerubbabel, Yeshua, Nehemiah, Seraiah, Re'eliah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mispar, Bigwai, Rechum, Baana, the number of the men of the people of Israel. That gave the names, and the following is the number of the men of the people of Israel. The children of Parosh, 2,172. The children of Shephatiah, 372. The children of Arah, 775. Arak. The children of Pachath Moab, of the children of Yeshua and Yoab, 2,812. The children of Elam, 1,254. The children of Zatu, 945. The children of Zakkai, these weren't physical children of that particular man that I'm reading. they were the descendants, you know, sons and grandsons, and they had multiplied. The children of Zakkai, 760. The children of Bani, 642. The children of Bebai, 623. The children of Azgad, 1,222. The children of Adonikam, 666. The children of Bigwai, another Bigwai, okay? There are seven people in the Bible named Jehoshaphat, okay? So this is another Bigwai, 2,056. The children of Adin, 454. The children of Ater of Hezekiah, of Yechizkiah, pardon me. I missed that. I have a note here, and I don't know why I didn't see it. The children of Ater of Yechizkiah, 98. The children of Betzai, 323. The children of Yorah, 112. Pardon me. The children of Kashum, 223. I need water. I'm getting dry again. The children of Gibar, 95. The children of Beth Lehem, that's people from the city of Bethlehem, 123. The men of Netophah, that's another city, 56. The men of Anatoth. Well, let me look at that prior verses. These may be city names here. Yeah, I think they are. Oh, I've been so excited I missed something here. The children of Gibar, 95. The children of Beit Lahem, 123. The men of Netophah. Now, I know it's city names because Netophah is a city. 56. The men of Anatoth, 128. That's a city. The city of Azmaweth, 42. The children of Kiriath Yearim, Kephira, Be'eroth, 743. I got a cough. The children of Rama and Gaba, 621. The men of Michmash, 122. The men of Bethel and Ai, 223. Children of Nebo, 52. The children of Magbish, 156. The children of the other Elam, 1,254. See, there were two cities named Elam. Verse 32. The children of Harim, 320. The children of Lod, Hadid, and Ono, 725. Verse 34, the children of Jericho, 345. The children of Sana'a, 3,630. The priests, the children of Yedaiah, of the house of Yeshua, 973. Those were priests. The children of Immer, 1,052. The children of Pashkur, 1,247. The children of Harim, 1,017. The Lewium, the children of Yeshua and Kadmiel, of the children of Hodavia, 74. The singers, the children of Asaph, 128. The children of the gatekeepers, the children of Shalom, the children of Atar, the children of Talmon, the children of Akub, the children of Chatita, the children of Shobai, all 139. Those were temple singers. Okay. Under Asaph, who was the chief musician under David. Verse 43. The Nathanim, the children of Zika, the children of Chasufa, the children of Tabaoth. The Nathanim were the temple servants. They cleaned, they did repair. They served the priest in the temple they were maintainers of the temple. The children of Keros, the children of Siacha, the children of Padon, the children of Labana, the children of Hagaba, the children of Akub, the children of Chagab, the children of Shalmai, the children of Hanan, the children of Gidel, the children of Gakar, the children of Re'iah, the children of Retzin, the children of Nekoda, the children of Gazam, the children of Uzzah, the children of Paseach, the children of Besai, the children of Asna, the children of Meunim, the children of Nephishim, the children of Bachbuk, the children of Kakufa, the children of Karkur, the children of Batsluth, the children of Mechida, the children of Karsha, the children of Barkos, the children of Sisera, the children of Tamak, the children of Netziath, the children of Katifa, the children of Solomon's servants, the children of Sotai, the children of Sophereth, the children of Peruda. They were the king's servants. The children of Ya'ala, the children of Darkon, the children of Gidel, the children of Shephatia, the children of Katil, the children of Pokareth Hatzawayim, the children of Ami, all the Nethinims. Nethinim, okay, the temple servants. And the children of Solomon's servants were 392. So there were the royal servants and the temple servants. And verse 59, you can reference Nehemiah 7, verse 61. And these were they which went up from Tel Milach, Tel Karsha, Kerub, Adon, and Emer. But they could not tell their father's house and their descendants whether they were of Israel. There were doubt. They lost their records. Ooh. So later on, they were going to be put out. The children of Delayahu, the children of Tobiah, the children of Nekoda, 652. And of the children of the priests, the children of Kabiah, the children of Kohakots, the children of Barzillai, which took a wife of the daughters of Barzillai, the Gileadi, and was called after their name. Now listen to this. Verse 62, you can reference Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 64. These sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, the birth records that the Israelites continued to keep, but they were not found. Therefore, they were desecrated from the priesthood. They were cast out from being priests. Okay? That's what they did with these people. They kicked them out. Okay? Verse 63. And you can reference Numbers 27, verse 21. And the Tirshatha, that is the governor, said unto them that they should not eat of the most holy things till there stood up a priest with the Urim and with the Tumim. That's how they cast the lot to find out whether they were true or not. Verse 64, the whole congregation together was 42,360. And you can reference Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 66. See, they had gotten mixed up a little bit when they were in Babel. They had Babylonian ways. Understand what I'm talking about? Say Talmud. Verse 65. Besides their servants and their maidservants, of whom there were 7,337, there were among them 200 singing men and singing women. They sang psalms in the temple. You can reference Nehemiah 7. Verse 67 for this. Verse 66. Their horses were 736, their mules 245, their camels 435, their asses 6,720. So they used donkeys primarily for transport. primary work animal. And some of the chiefs of the clans, when they came to the house of Yahweh, which is was at Yerushalayim, offered freely for the house of Elohim to set it up in its place, to rebuild. Everybody chipped in. Well, that's what we're all going to have to do. We're all going to have to support one another during this tribulation. Everybody's going to have to chip in. Verse 69. They gave after their ability unto the treasure of the work 61,000 darkama of gold. We don't know what, it's an unknown measure. And 5,000 minas of silver. We don't know what, how much a mina was. We've lost that information. And 100 priest's tunics. And that was a big deal because the priest tunics had to be made a special way. Verse 70, you can reference 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 2. And Nehemiah 11, verse 3. Verse 70, so the priest and the Leviim, the Levites, and some of the people, and the singers, and the gatekeepers, and the Nethinims, dwelt in their cities, and all Israel in their cities. And that ends chapter 2. So they got them all back there. They've got the priests separated. Now we're going to do chapter 3. And here's where the worship is restored. And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Verse 2, and you can reference Exodus 27, verse 1. Then stood up Yeshua, the son of Yotzadok, and his brothers, the priests, that's the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and built the altar of Elohe Israel, that's the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings upon it, as it is written in the Torah of Moshe, the man of Elohim. Reference Exodus 27, verse 1. They built the altar first, and then they built the temple around the altar. The altar and the sacrifices began immediately. Verse 3, and you can reference Numbers 28, verses 1 through 8. And they set the altar upon its bases, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries, and they offered burnt offerings thereon unto Yahweh, burnt offerings morning and evening. They were afraid of the people around them because they were weak coming out of captivity. They just came back to Jerusalem, and they had all these enemies all around them, the Edomites, etc., etc. Verse 4, Numbers 29, verses 12 through 38, reference that. Pay attention now. Today is the Feast of Trumpets. And what's coming up next month? They kept also the Feast of Booths, that's tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number according to the custom, as the duty of every day required. They kept the Feast of Tabernacles, as we are about to do in Israel now. So, here's verse 5 of chapter 3. And you can reference Numbers 28:11 through 29:39. And afterward offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new moons and of all the appointed feasts of Yahweh that were consecrated, and of every one that willingly offered a free will offering unto Yahweh. They were joyous after being returned to their land, and they were worshiping fervently at that point. Here you go. Pay attention to this. From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto Yahweh. But of the temple of Yahweh, the foundation was not laid. In other words, they had the altar. They didn't have the foundation built for the second temple. I had a note there were changes in the verse. And I had little arrows again. Verse 7. They gave money also unto the masons and to the craftsmen, and food and drink and oil unto the Zidoni and to the Zori to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Yafo, according to the authorization that they had of Koresh, king of Paras, that's Persia. That's Zidon and Tyre. Zidoni, the Zidon, Zidonim, and the Zori, the men of Tyre, because they were cutting woods, and Koresh, who had conquered everybody, ordered them to bring wood for the temple. Verse 8 of chapter 3. Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of Elohim at Yerushalayim, in the second month, began Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brothers, the priests, and the Levites, and all those that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites, the Lewim, from 20 years old and upward to oversee over the work of the house of Yahweh. They put all the young men, if they were 20 at that point in those days, they were full-grown men and responsible. Verse 9. Then stood Yeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Yahuda, Judah, together to oversee over the doers of work in the house of Elohim, the sons of Kenadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites, the Lewim. Verse 10. You can reference 1 Chronicles 25, verse 1. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of Yahweh, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Lewim, the Levites, the sons of Asaph, and he was the chief musician, with cymbals to praise Yahweh after the hand of David, king of Israel. Because Asaph went all the way back to King David before the captivity. Okay? You can reference 1 Chronicles 25, verse 1. And they sang with response. Back and forth singing, okay? in praising and giving thanks unto Yahweh, because he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised Yahweh, because the foundation was laid of the house of Yahweh. You can reference Jeremiah 33:11, 3 Maccabees 6:32, 1 Chronicles 16:34, 2 Chronicles 5:13 and 7:3, Psalms 100 verse 5, Psalm 106, verse 1, Psalm 107, verse 1, Psalm 118, verse 1, Psalm 136, verse 1. Now here's verse 12, and you can reference Tobit, chapter 14, verse 5. But many of the priests and Levium and chiefs of the clan who were old men that had seen the first house, when the foundation was laid of this house before their eyes, wept with a great voice, and many shouted for joy with raised voices. The people that had seen the first temple and lived long enough, the elders, to see the second temple started, it was so much for them, they just broke down and wept. That's beautiful right there. Verse 13, so that the people could not distinguish the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a great shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Amen and amen. And I've got a less than 8 minutes left in the show. I could just keep going and, this is so wonderful. Just absolutely wonderful. But we'll take up on Wednesday, starting with chapter 4, and we'll get into the part where enemies are opposing the work and giving Israel a hard time. That's not going to go real well for them either. When Israel tries to do something good, there's always some evil person out there that wants to oppose it. Doesn't it seem that way? There's no lack of punishment for doing good. This being the Feast of Trumpets, on sundown of the 26th to sundown of the 27th is Yom Kippur. That is the day of covering over, the Day of Atonement. That is a fast day. From sundown to sundown, you are to drink no water or eat food. You are to afflict your bodies. That's the one fast a year, and this particular fast, you don't even drink water. You just do without. In other words, don't do any strenuous anything. You are to do no work. Not to wash dishes, you're not to sweep the floor, not to vacuum a rug, not to wash clothes, not to cook a meal. You are not to do anything at all on the Day of Atonement, period. It is a day of worship and contemplation, because Yeshua Messiah shed the last blood of Atonement for us. It is now a Christian celebration. It is a fast, and after the fast, after sundown, you can have a joyous meal and break your fast after sundown on the 27th. And it's a very serious day of the year, because it was such a serious act that he did for us. I'm going to be driving my neighbors crazy all day, blowing my shofar. I'll go out in the park outside and blast it out. And they all think I'm crazy, but I don't care. The fall feast days are a wonderful thing. And we'll have the Feast of Tabernacles next month. I will be away, but I will have shows pre-recorded. I'm going to be recording today and Tuesday is a standard Sabbath, so we have a double Sabbath. Tomorrow is a Sabbath and Tuesday is a Sabbath. So I'm going to get some shows recorded today for the rest of the week. And that way I won't be breaking Sabbath. I won't be doing anything. These are real serious commanded feast days. These are not rabbinical celebrations or fast in honor of a person like the Fast of Esther. That's optional, okay? That was a tradition, and it is not a commanded fast, okay? Only Yom Kippur, the day of covering over, is a commanded fast. And that is very, very important. That is a very stern command by Yahweh, and it is to be kept throughout all generations. The nature of it has changed because of the sacrifice that Yahshua made for us at Calvary. That was the final covering over, and we fast in His honor now. And the priest no longer covers us with the blood of bulls or goats. The final perfect sacrifice was made, but the fast day still stands. That's one of the few things that he did. He changed the nature of Yom Kippur because he fulfilled it, and we honor that. That fast was not done away with, just the nature was changed. So it's going to be a very heavy-duty time. I'm coming down toward the top of the hour here when the show will end. And I appreciate all the listenership and the emails and the Skype messages that I get from everybody. The numbers on my website for hits... it is getting quite large, up in the hundreds, and people are taking advantage of the scripture studies that I have done, which makes my heart glad, because Yahweh has given me this gift, and I give it freely with love to you. Well, we're just about there. I'm going to play my much-beloved bumper music, Onward Christian Soldiers. I really like that song. That's why I picked it. So may Yahweh bless and keep you. And Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, my brothers and sisters.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.